terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Joyce Riley. And Joyce is going to be at the conspiracy conference that's going to be held at the Marriott Convention Center over in Santa Clara on June 7th and June 8th. And if you're in the area, you can come. Why, let me give you the number to call. It's 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844, and Conspiracy Conference on the 7th and 8th of June. Joyce, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
And, of course, Joyce is going to be one of the featured speakers, and I'm just going to have a table there, but that's all right. Anyway, I always look forward to hearing Joyce talk. What are we going to be talking about this afternoon?
Well, let's talk about what I'm hearing from the troops of recent that are contacting me about what is taking place in their lives physically, because, as we know, they are now admitting to the fact that over 100 veterans a week are committing suicide. About 120 is what they're admitting to, but we know that it's even more than that. Some people are speculating that it's about 8,000 per month that are committing suicide. You know, in any other time, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we would have been shocked at even 10 people a week committing suicide in the military. And now we kind of go, oh, 120, This is a phenomenal statistic that is off the scale of anything that should be happening.
Oh, no, is this in any way related to the Prozac or other serotonin uptake inhibitors that they take, serotonin uptake inhibitors they're taking?
In my opinion, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. That it's related to that, the SSRI drugs, the Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Paxil, Effexor, that these people are taking, because it makes it much easier for them to commit suicide, or much more prone to commit suicide than if they were not on those drugs. But what has happened now is that they've begun drugging these troops up in Iraq before they come home. If you go in and you have a problem, well, the first thing they're going to do is say, well, you must be depressed, whether you say it or not. They will then give you the drug, the prescription, put you on it. Now they've got a situation online where if you are out of the military and ordering to the VA, you just go online, order your drugs, and they'll be delivered right to your door. Now, you and I both know that the close monitoring that should be taking place with an SSRI drug, like Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, et cetera, is not happening.
And I think people must understand that there is a black box warning now with Prozac that says it increases both homicidal and suicidal tendencies. That they know this, and yet they're giving it to all these boys with emotional problems as a direct result of the war. Go right ahead.
There's an individual that contacted me the other day, and he was in the 3rd ID, the 3rd Infantry Division. Now, during the first Gulf War, that was one of the sickest units that we had identified, because we got, seemed like, more letters from the 3rd ID members than anyone else. And what we're finding now is that there's very few 3rd ID members that are still alive and still around. Because after the war, they brilliantly separated, and I'm talking about the first Gulf War, they brilliantly separated all these troops so they would not be able to see that each other was sick. Because if all of a sudden an entire unit becomes ill, well, that becomes very suspect. And you would go to the medical corps officer and say, look, we're all sick, something happened here. But if you separate them and move them around to where they don't know the people that they were originally with and have a bond with them, they're not going to be so likely to talk about it or address their issues.
But the question is, why did so many of these young, healthy young men die so soon after, of course, they were in the first Gulf War? And we're going to be back in just a moment with Joyce Riley right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley, and we wanted to have Joyce on because she's going to be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference, which is going to be held at the Marriott Convention Center in Santa Clara on June 7th and June 8th. That's the Marriott Convention Center over there, June 7th and June 8th. If you're interested in going, why, of course, you should call and make your reservations at 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. But certainly Joyce is going to be there. They're having a great lineup of speakers. In fact, I've been going for a number of years, and this is the best lineup of speakers they've had. We've had so many of them on, whether it be Barry Shamish, Ralph Epperson, Cliff Connicorn will be there, and simply a list of the people that are going to be key speakers. Jim Mars is going to be there. It's going to be a great time. But Joyce is talking this afternoon about the fact that so many of our young men coming back from this second Gulf War committing suicide. And she says it's well over 100 a week. Probably, what, 125 a week, Joyce? Would that be right?
I believe it's closer to probably 200 a week.
All right, fine. And, Chris, a lot of this is because they're giving them these SSRI drugs, Prozac, Luvox, and the others, which, of course, promote suicide and homicide. And you can look up on the Internet, and you'll find out that there's a warning there that these promote homicide and suicide. So why are they giving it to them? And then you pick up the story there.
Giving it to them to keep them quiet, to satisfy them, to make them think that they're doing something for them. But what they do is they really make them a little bit quieter, a little bit more sedate, not as likely to complain, and that's the whole goal. And then they want to move them out of the military. Now, I talked to a gentleman the other day that was saying in the third ID, and he was on about four of these drugs.
He was from the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War?
First Gulf War, right. Still on active duty.
All right.
And he was on 10 325 milligrams of... Percocet. And then I believe he was on some patches also. And these patches are very, very strong and very, very difficult to monitor sometimes. But you know what? It to me, it's amazing. You've got a man here who is active duty, who is on all this incredible pain medication, and he's still in the service. Well, what they're doing is trying to maintain them as long as they can until they can just move them out of the service. Because they are not doing anything for their pain, not doing anything for their problems that they have.
They don't want to treat them
because there basically is no treatment.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce is simply saying that they are simply treating a lot of the veterans who have real problems with things that sort of cover up the problem, either psychiatric drugs or pain drugs. But they're not going to try to get to the cause of what's going on. And I know, and I have no question at all, that they experimented with our young men during the first Gulf War, giving them experimental vaccines. But they've experimented on our servicemen for many years. And both Joyce and I carry something called the Rockefeller Committee Report. Goes into the background. It came out of the Veterans Administration report back in 1994. And they talked about all the experiments that have been used on our soldiers. I don't know if you've seen those statistics that Duck Rocky got from the Veterans Administration, but we got copies of them, showing that of the 695 80,000 men who, of course, and women who were involved in the first Gulf War, almost 80,000 are no longer living. Now, those are not my figures. Those are the Veterans Administration figures. Anybody who wants to see them would be glad to send them. I didn't believe it. I had to check it out myself. And yes, Veterans Administration among themselves will admit over 10% of the young, healthy men we sent off to fight and bleed for democracy back in 1991. Of course, are no longer living. And these are young, healthy people. I mean, actuarially, why, of course, would bankrupt every insurance company in our nation if this were the general population. But then all of them weren't experimented on like they experimented on our fighting men. You pick up the story there.
Well, they have been experimented on for many, many, many years, like you say, 50 years. The sad part is this young man from the first Gulf War is falling apart. Literally, he was falling apart. He called me, and he was on active duty at the time, and he was very upset. And he was swearing, and he was talking about what was going on. And I was trying to tell him, look, you know, I want to be your friend. I want to be your supporter in this. I am not your enemy. And they're so accustomed to having been betrayed now that the anger that they have is overwhelming. They can't believe that anybody is going to listen to them. In fact, he said to me, I can't believe that anybody is really listening to what I have to say because everybody keeps telling me there's nothing wrong with you, take your medicine. Well, he has so many basic organ problems. I mean, he has renal problems, I could tell. He has neurological problems. He has skin problems, all from he was in the area of Camisea. Now, Camisea is a bunker complex that was about 100 bunkers, each the size of a super Walmart, that was detonated by this 37th Engineer Battalion. Now, there were a number of other units around, and there were about 100,000 of our troops that were exposed.
Now, of course, but they were full of chemical warfare agents and other warfare agents. Why would you blow up, you know, bunkers full of chemical warfare agents because they're going to get into the environment and come down on our troops? Why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? Go right ahead.
I asked Sergeant Sapolsky, who was in charge of the detonation there at 37th Engineer Battalion, and I said, what went on? What was in your minds at the time? Because they went inside, and we have it in the Beyond Treason documentary, they went inside the bunker complex, and there were biologicals and chemicals made by the United States and the UK and Russia, transshipped probably through Jordan into Iraq, because it was illegal to send them directly to Iraq, but transshipped them into Iraq. And there's all the weapons that belonged initially to the United States or the UK or Russia that are now in the hands of Iraq. So he told me that he told his colonel, look, we went in there. We've gone in those bunkers. There's biologicals and chemicals in there. Some of them are leaking. It's bad news inside those bunkers. And they were just underground areas that were really not like a basement. They were just about halfway underground. And his colonel then contacted, or his commander, then contacted General Schwarzkopf at Central Command, and the word came back, blow them anyway, was the response. So they detonated them, and half of the troops, as far as we were told to stand down and not go to mop gear, not put on their protective gear, which it wouldn't have helped anyway. We later found out that they were totally incompetent. The materials had holes in them, had cracks in them. They were not even effective. I mean,
you're
all
talking
you
about
one small crack, and it's no good anyway.
Right. The suits that they were supposed to wear to protect them from the chemical and biological warfare agents.
They were made by a company called Isratex, and that company was in Raynell, West Virginia, that supplied about 800,000 of those suits to the U.S. government. The U.S. government paid top dollar for those suits, and it was determined very shortly after they obtained them that, yes, they were defective, all of them. Nearly all of them were defective. Now, whether or not the Department of Defense knew that at the time is not important. They should have known it. They had a reason to know because they should know that, and they should check their equipment, and they should see that, well, there were holes, tears, and et cetera. But anyway, these troops were sent off to a war with those pieces of equipment, which were totally defective. Raynell, West Virginia, or the Isratex plant, they later sued Isratex in a weak attempt to try and sue them. But every one of the individuals in charge of that went back to Israel, and they were never found guilty. And it was all over, and, oh, gee, we just can't figure out what happened to them. So you've got all these troops now that are in the area of Camisea, which is along the Euphrates River. You'll see it on the map. It's called An-Nisyra. They were at this area. They detonated these 100 bunkers in 1 week period of time. They all went up, and the black in the sky and the smoke and the, it was just horrendous, they said at the time. And well, all, they were all being poisoned there at the time. Even the Department of Defense, a few years later sent letters saying that 100,000 of you were in the area of a chemical exposure.
But you remember initially they said there was no chemical exposure, absolutely none. Well, maybe 5,000 troops. Maybe
yes,
10,000
yes,
troops. Maybe 20,000 troops. And it took them several years before they told the truth. They simply lied and lied and lied to those young men and their families, saying there was no chemical exposure, only a little bit of chemical exposure, and then it came out. What, it was 100 or 150,000 who were intentionally exposed to chemical and biological weapons?
That they admitted to. That's right. That is incredibly true. And sad though it is, those troops were left to fend for themselves, because whenever they would go to the Veterans Administration or to their commanders and say, look, I'm sick, they would be told the same thing. No, you're not. It's no big deal. So as a result of that, now we have these troops that are coming back to the United States, still in the military, but they're ill. And they are having rashes. They're having GI problems. They are vomiting every single day, diarrhea.
You're talking about those that are coming back now or after the first Gulf War?
After the first Gulf
War. Okay, go ahead.
And they were given, to the tune of about 90% of them that went to ask for help, were either offered or placed on Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Paxil, you name it. Some of them on two or three of those drugs. Some of them on Risperdal, which is a horrendous drug to be using. But anyway, as a result of that, though, they didn't get any treatment. Many of them became incontinent of urine at the time. And I talked to one recruiter who was a senior enlisted man who had a problem with incontinence, and it just got so bad one time he urinated at work in his uniform. And he went to be checked out medically. They gave him a psychological evaluation. And as they did that, they said to him, you know, have you ever been depressed? And he said, yes, once when my mother died when I was 12 years old, it really bothered me. And they wrote down a diagnosis of PTSD secondary to his mother's death at age 12. And yet the man was having incontinence, urinary incontinence, from probably the depleted uranium exposure. So here you have grown men, grown adult men who have spent 10, 20 years in the military that are being told, you have a mental problem. Well, you can imagine what that does to somebody when their family says to them, see, I told you you weren't sick, you just have a mental problem. They couldn't take it. Many of them committed suicide. I got a call from a father one day in Nevada, and he said, my son, he said, kept telling me he was sick. And he showed me this video that you have, Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction. And he said, he kept telling me, Dad, look, I've got that. He said, I told my son, I said, look, just get a job, straighten up, find a girlfriend, you'll be just fine. He said, Ms. Riley, he said, I'm calling you today to tell you that my son, Saturday, went out in the desert and shot himself. And he said, he left a note, Dad, I really was sick. I mean, now that's the kind of thing that these parents have to live with now, because they believe the Department of Defense. Their troops tried to believe in the Department of Defense and their military medical establishment as long as they possibly could. And now they're left with this kind of incredible guilt for the rest of their lives. Now we move to Gulf War II. We've got the same scenario, only they're becoming sicker faster. They're becoming more debilitated and having to go out of the military faster. So the Department of Defense has started putting them on the same drugs faster. They now have them all progressing on these drugs, and that's part of what I'm going to be talking about at the ConCon, is this incredible amount of homicide that's taking place now. The homicide-suicide rates are off the scale for anything. Considering that these are men and women who served their country and were fine before they went over there. And I talked to this one troop, the one that from the 3rd ID. Now, he served in the first Gulf War. He deployed for a short time in the second Gulf War. And so he's back now, and he's got all the exposures. And he just said to me, he said, ma'am, am I going to make it? And I don't know what to tell these troops. I said, well, we got to find out what's going on with you, and we got to get you some help. And he said, I am falling apart. I am hurting everywhere. I've got every problem. And yet they say there's nothing wrong with me, and they give me more of these antidepressant drugs. And that's their goal, because if they put them on the antidepressant drugs, they can now say, see, that's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. See, they didn't really have an organic problem. See, there's really nothing wrong with them. So they put them in the category of disability under PTSD with what they were doing. Then that got too expensive because they were something like $150,000 to $300,000. We don't know the true figure, but the VA gives us one set of figures that we're supposed to accept. And let's say there were, let's say there's been 300,000 to 600,000. Let's give a minimum maximum, 300,000 to 600,000 of these troops that have been diagnosed with quote unquote PTSD. That's supposed to be that, well, they went over to the war, they saw a lot of stuff they didn't like, they came back, and now they can't readjust. What it is really is a desire to want to get them into the psychological diagnosis category so that nobody will be looking at organic or physical problems.
And, of course, any of the people working in the VA who tried to treat these people for their organic illness were suddenly gotten out of the VA. We've talked to some of the people who actually worked there who actually would do MRIs and see the lesions on the pictures in their central nervous system, and they were told, you can't do that. You're not allowed to try to find out what's wrong with them. Just give them a pill. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, go ahead, Joyce.
Well, and then the Department of Defense could not handle all of these 100% PTSD disqualifications or retirements that they were giving people or disabilities that they were giving them. That got to be too expensive. So then they went and switched it to somatoform disorder or personality disorder. And that is now what they're using more than the PTSD. Because, see, PTSD is compensable. You have to pay a person for their disability under PTSD. But you don't have to pay anybody for somatoform disorder or for personality disorder because you had that before you came into the military, the old you were depressed when your mother died at 12 years of age. So therefore, that's pre-existing. And that's now what they're doing to these people to get away from having them collect anything. No disability now. Zero disability. And this troop that contacted me, he said he had just gone to the military talking to them about a disability, and they said to him, look, you can't get a disability. There's nothing wrong with you. He said, look, I'm on all these patches every day for pain. I'm held together by patches and by Percocet tabs. He said, I cannot function without them. And they said, look, we don't give disability claims for pain. So what they do is they don't treat the pain with anything other than a medication. They don't tell them what's really going on with them. And now he's got to get out of the military prior to the time that he should have retired. Now, you and I both know that if you do not serve your full 20, I don't think there's any, right now as we speak, maybe you can correct me, sir, but I don't think there's any disability or any compensation for less than 20 years. There's no retirement for less than 20, is there?
I don't think so. Well, the only thing you could do would be to get into the reserves, but they probably wouldn't let you get into the reserves to get more time in. No, you get out before the 20 years and you've had it, and of course then you have no retirement at all and you have no income. And usually your family, if you're married, why your marriage breaks up. I mean, these are victims, and there's much victims that have been wounded in battle. And I believe, of course, many of them are victims of the Gulf War illness, a very real illness. Of course, they found that certainly in the areas, for instance, the French who did not take any of the vaccines we gave our troops, they didn't get any Gulf War illness. But it was the Americans and the British that took all the vaccines that got it. And of course, you actually got Gulf War illness as well, didn't you, Joyce?
Yes, I got it from the vaccines. But Right. Let me just say that I met with the French embassy. They came over. The French National Assembly came over here to Washington, D.C., and asked me to go to the assembly in New York City, in Washington, D.C. I don't know if I ever told you about this.
No, I never did. I got that, sir.
But I think this is interesting, though, because that had been the story. Our people are not sick. They didn't get the vaccines. And we didn't know about any French that were sick. Then what happened years later is the depleted uranium issue started to show its ugly head, and their people were sick. Not from the mycoplasma, but they began to get ill from the depleted uranium issue. So they contacted me and asked me if I would come to D.C. and talk with them. They were going to have 3 meetings in 3 days, and we were allowed to take as much time as we needed to present to them. So we went to the embassy there in D.C., treated very well, and on the first day they met with the Veterans Administration. On the second day they met with the Department of Defense, and on the third day they met with me. And I felt really honored that they would meet with me. But, of course, I did not have a whole a whole group of people to bring with me to show PowerPoint presentations.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest is Joyce Riley, who has her own radio program. If you don't listen to Joyce, why, you can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and you can actually go to our live feed, and you'll find Joyce is there 9 hours a day, and I know of a lot of our listeners and supporters get our live feed, and so they listen to Joyce Riley on our program, and I know Joyce actually runs it on her website, and so her listeners hear me. But the important thing is they're getting the information. Now, Joyce is telling us that it was sometime after the first Gulf War that the French embassy invited her to come to Washington, D.C., because some of their troops at this time, far after the war was over, were beginning to get ill, presumably from the depleted uranium, of course, that they come in contact with. So you pick up the story there, Joyce. What happened when you made your presentation to the people from France, from the French embassy, concerned about their troops?
Well, most of these people were either what we would consider representatives or senators from France, or they were a medical staff. And some of them were senators and equal to senators and representatives who were physicians. So they knew what they were looking at, and they didn't want opinion. They didn't want to know what I thought was going on. They wanted to know what was going on. So I showed them all the documents, and I was very clear and very precise about what I could document on all of our troops. And it was very interesting because as a result of that, I mean, they just sit there just glued to what I was saying. Now, I was like the last presenter, and yet they were most interested in what I had to say. So we broke for lunch, and when we were at lunch, one of the physicians came up to me and said, and took me aside and said, I just need to tell you something. First of all, the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration were totally the same on what they had to say. It was all PTSD, all emotional problems, all we can't do anything about it, we just got to get new troops. And they listened to hours of that presentation. She said, yours is totally different. I covered the exposures. I covered the vaccine, the Tri-Service Vaccine Task Force doing the experiments on vaccines. I covered the depleted uranium. I covered the other exposures, chemical and biological exposures, the fact that the United States armed Iraq, on and on and on. And the physician told me, I can tell you right now what's going to happen. France is going to side with the Department of Defense. She said, I know that you are telling the truth, but I cannot convince everybody here to go against the Department of Defense in the United States. And I just felt very fortunate and very glad that they had at least given me the opportunity to present my case. Because I cannot control the outcome, but I can control, and I am responsible for telling the truth. You know, God is in charge of what happens after that. They are in charge of making up their own minds. And it was probably about 3 months later that France issued a statement that there were no people in France that had Gulf War illness. Their people had PTSD also. So I have to tell you, that really changed my life. Because when you meet people that high up that are telling you, look, I know what you're telling is the truth, but we have to go along with the establishment, the Department of Defense. I mean, imagine anybody that would be going against the Department of Defense. This past week, we had Doug Rocky on, last week.
That's Major Rocky Major, who was really actually worked with the depleted uranium. He was probably their chief expert on depleted uranium, wasn't he, for a time?
He was in charge of the depleted uranium cleanup program. He was probably the most knowledgeable person about DU in the military in the first Gulf War, and he's been targeted since that time for becoming a whistleblower. So we had him on, and before that, though, I had contacted the Department of Defense and Veterans Administration asking them to have someone on the program that would respond to him. They both denied. Well, the Department of Defense would not even return my phone call after I told them what I wanted. The VA did. And they denied the physician in charge of the depleted uranium program in the VA, refused to have him on. Then I got some communication from the DOD after that that a file had been made of that program and that they were not very happy about that program. Well, I'll leave that as That's all I will say about that.
But, of course, the last thing they want is for the American people, and especially our military, to realize that they're being systematically poisoned, and high officials know exactly what they're doing, and they're destroying the lives of these young men who may very well survive and come home, you know, with two arms and two legs, and if they haven't had a horrible brain injury, which so many of them have because of the roadside devices. But then, of course, the depleted uranium will eat away at their body and destroy it. And, of course, they're contaminating that whole part of the world, the women, the children. I mean, you should see the pictures of the deformed children that are being born over there. And there's not one person in a thousand in America knows anything about depleted uranium and of course, its devastating effect. And all the munitions we're using, almost all of them, are depleted uranium, outlawed by every other country, you know, or most other countries, as a form of nuclear warfare. Why we're using it, our allies are using it, and destroying our own troops. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, Joyce, you go right ahead with the story.
And so with that, it kind of changed my attitude as to whether or not we were ever going to make a difference with all of this. And I still, and I talked to Dave after the Department of Defense had kind of let us know that they were not happy about the program with Doug Rocky. And I told Dave, I said, you know, we're very lucky that we have not been targeted more, and I feel as though probably we might be in the future. And I said, so we've got a choice now. We can either continue to tell the truth as we know it, or we can play it safe. And he agreed with me that if we didn't tell the truth as we know it, then we would be just like any other radio show. We would be backing down, and we would be phony, and we couldn't afford to do that. And that is true, and neither one of us feel comfortable with that. So in the event, no matter what happens, you know, I will hold my head high that I have done what I think is right, and I have done what I can for these troops. And with this one troop that was really sick that had contacted me recently that is on all this pain medication, he wanted copies of Beyond Treason, and I sent them to him. In fact, we will send one to any FPO or APO address at no charge. If there's someone out there that wants to get one to their loved one, we will get them Beyond Treason. And it will educate them as to what's going on and what they're being exposed to. It's a little hard-hitting, but I encourage you to see Dr. Doug Rocky talk in there about the issue of what depleted uranium is all about and also the vaccine issue. And it is available if anyone wants to purchase it. I think you have it, don't you, Dr.
Yes, we carry. We think it's one of the most powerful videos I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. And I wish it wasn't true. You know, what I'm saying is either I need to be stopped or the Department of Defense. And I wish that I was not telling the truth. I absolutely wish I was not telling the truth. I wish there was some way that somebody could show me that this is all a dream, it's all a facade, you've manufactured this in your own head, Joyce, it's not really true. Because if what I say is true, Dr. Stan, that means we have close to 2 million troops coming back that are going to be either murdering people, victims of their own suicide, or that are going to be living a hell of an existence in a body that is full of pain and does not function for them for the rest of their lives. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to be this way, but you cannot be in that theater of operations for that long a period of time, 18 months, 36 months, some have been over there 40-some months. They cannot be over there that long without breathing in, eating, or drinking depleted uranium. It's the size of a virus. It's 0.2 microns.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back and bring our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Joyce Riley. And, of course, Joyce has her own radio program. And anyway, Joyce, why don't you tell people how they can get to your website and how they can hear your radio programs?
Sure. Go to thepowerhour.com or go to Beyond Treason or GulfWarVets.com. And let me just say that GulfWarVets.com is the biggest veteran billboard, bulletin board, as I understand right now, of the most returning troops going there. And you can go. You don't have to sign in to be able to read the post there. It's amazing what you will read there about the depleted uranium, about returning and not getting any compensation. These guys are pouring their heart out on that board. So that's a good place. You go see for yourself at GulfWarVets.com. And also you can listen to the Power Hour from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time on 7.490. We just had a recent frequency change, 7.490. Or you can, of course, listen on the satellite. And I got to tell you, we are so grateful. I think of you all the time, Dr. Stan, for the gratefulness of getting us on with Global Star. Those people are just phenomenal.
They really are. They do a great job. And for instance, our listeners out there, this is Telstar 5. If you're interested in getting a satellite and getting all these feeds, doesn't cost you anything once you have the satellite, and it's inexpensive, easy to install. And then you can listen to Joyce Riley 9 hours a day up there. And then you can listen to me for 9 hours a day, too. Mm-hmm. You won't get anything accomplished, but we are just fortunate to have that as an alternative. But go right ahead, Joyce.
You
anyway,
know, let me just give Rick's phone number, because this is the nicest guy in the world. Rick Satellite, if you want to find out about a satellite, is 816-228-1801. I don't get anything for that. I just get a lot of satisfaction because he's such a neat guy. But, you know, it's interesting, Stan. I have to admit that sometimes I'll have a guest on, and you'll have the very same guest on, and then when we listen on the internet, I mean listen on Global Star, you know, people will get 4 hours of the same guest sometimes.
Well, that's all right. You need repetition for people really to learn, because this is so hard for people to believe.
Oh, yeah.
Could this really be going on? Could it really be that almost 80,000 of the young, healthy men we sent over to the first Gulf War are no longer living? Well, we've got the figures from the Veterans Administration. We'll be glad to send them to anybody out there who wants to check it out. If it's really true, do you really want your son to go over there and fight and bleed and suffer and then come home and be ill for the rest of their life because they've been poisoned? Well, go ahead, Joyce.
Well, and I would also add that let's look at the other figures that they're lying about. And I do say lying, and the way they do that is by just manipulating the figures. The idea that we have lost, what, 4,000 troops by now?
I think they talk about 4,500 in Iraq and Afghanistan together.
And that is a huge number. That is bad enough. But in reality, the figure is much bigger, much more damaging and devastating than that. It's around, a lot of people are now saying around 30,000. And the reason being that 30,000 of our troops have died is because that only the battlefield casualties are listed on that particular section of the statistics. So, and as I knew, you know, when I was a flight nurse, if they don't die on the battlefield, they become a different category. If they air-evac them to Landstuhl, Germany, and they die in Landstuhl, Germany, that's not a battlefield casualty, even though they died of an IED. So if they live past that point, they go into another category of statistics, of which I don't know what that's called. I wish I did know. But there are now people calculating that as many as 30,000 of our military have died, you know, getting us up there in the same area with Vietnam. And that frightens me to think that there are a lot of parents out there who don't realize that their child, that their figure is not being included in that overall death statistic number. Have you heard anything about that, Dr. Steve?
I really haven't, no, but of course I know so many of them are coming back with brain injuries from the IEDs, totally unnecessary. There were vehicles that they could have purchased that would have stopped this and would have saved the minds, because these kids have a brain injury, they'll never be normal, they may have lost their hearing because of it. And it was totally unnecessary, but they refused to purchase the things that would have protected them, and they sent them over with defective equipment. And when Donald Rumsfeld was asked, why would you have done this? He said, well, when you go to war with what you have. Donald Rumsfeld refused to get those protective vehicles that would have saved the lives of so many of our young men. Go right ahead, Joyce.
And the idea, though, that they're not keeping the tally of those that died not on the battlefield. I think that that should be a true number. Anything that any death directly related to the war, I think, should be a battlefield statistic. But that's a great way to manipulate and massage the figures. Now, I mean, what would you think today would happen if the world knew that 30,000 of our sons and daughters had been sacrificed in this war?
Well, I think there'd be an outcry. But, of course, the same way there'd be an outcry if they realized we were poisoning them, we were poisoning the Iraqi people with depleted uranium. We cannot let the American people know the truth. And it's what's that old saying about in war, the first casualty is truth. It's like the story of, you remember, of Pat Tillman rushing up the hill in defense of his troops, and it was all a lie. Or that the woman who was captured by the Iraqis, fighting to the last bullet, was all a lie. They lied to the American people. And where's the outrage? And what's really so frightening, Joyce, is there is no outrage. There's no outrage about torture. There's no outrage about the fact that the commanding officer in charge of prosecution at Guantanamo gave up his career in the military to testify for the defense. Says he was ordered by the Pentagon that there will be no acquittals. There will be no acquittals. We're going to put on trials, just like they did in the Soviet Union, where they're going to put on trials. There will be no acquittals. We cannot have acquittals. And he said, this is not justice. And he gave up his military career. Whether he's still in the military, I don't know. But he's testifying for the defense because he sees the total corruption coming out of our Pentagon. And that's unconscionable.
Yes. And as I recall, he had to go into retirement after he did that. You see, they did a brilliant job, though, after the war, of manipulating the people by telling them that anybody that doesn't support the troops hates their country, is un-American. And Bill O'Reilly is probably the biggest cheerleader involved in this. And if you say anything now that is not in support of the war and in the troops, then you hate your country. And that's why they did this early on, to try and keep people from saying the kinds of things that we're saying. Now, I support the troops, and I want to get some answers for them. I want to get some help for them. I may not support this mission, but I support the fact that if these people join for the right reasons, they deserve to get adequate treatment and compensation. But it's just as if so many people have been told, well, the anti-war people are not coming to their aid, because the anti-war people say, well, they joined the military, they got what they deserved. Well, I joined the military, but I had no idea I was going to be experimented upon. You know, we weren't using a good set of rules here, because we weren't told what the rules were. So I get experimented upon. I go forward. I say to the VA and the DOD, hey, I'm sick, and so are the other nurses, the other flight nurses here. They said, look, you're a reservist. It doesn't count anyway. In fact, I was told, you're a reservist, so you can't even go to the VA. And I will tell you, Dr. Stan, after being in the reserves for about 4 or 5 years, that was the first time I ever heard that we did not have access to a VA hospital, because they kept us always at the point of not having enough active duty time that we couldn't utilize the VA. That's what they're doing right now with these troops that are sick, is that they are retiring them. The worst one was one day prior to his 20 years. This man was so furious. He said, I spent 19 years, 364 days, and they made sure I did not get my retirement. I mean, that's criminal. Nobody has any idea that that's going on. Number of people have been retired 2 or 3 months prior to their date of separation from the military, their date of retirement, and they're given nothing, no help whatsoever. So then what do? They go to their insurance company to try and get help? No, they've got a pre-existing condition. They were in the military. No help from the insurance companies. Where do they go get help? They go to the county hospitals. The county hospitals say, you've got to go to the VA. The VA says, we don't have to treat you. There is no place for these people to go unless they pay full price for their medical care, which who in the world can afford to do that in this day and age? There's nothing for them. There is nothing for them. Now, there we get into, why do we have so many people that are homeless? Because their expenses, their medical bills are so incredibly large that the families find them as a total liability in the family, and they have to divorce just to protect themselves. So tell me that they support the military. There is no way that I can see anybody that can defend the position of letting somebody out of the military one day prior to the time that they collect their retirement. But then, where's their recourse? What recourse is it when they're in your military? Let's say you're a senior enlisted guy. What recourse do you have, Dr. Stan?
Absolutely none. And this is why these people are simply pawns at a vicious, vicious game. And if you support our military, you'd want to get them out of there. You would not send them over to fight in a war. We're not being allowed to win. They're not being allowed to win there any more than they were allowed to win in Korea, than they were allowed to win in Vietnam, than the young men we sent into the Bay of Pigs were allowed to win. There were all no-win wars, and and were involved in a no-win war in Afghanistan and Iraq today.
And so now they have no place to turn, and they have nobody telling them the truth. So if somebody is kind enough at least to get them a copy of Beyond Treason, then finally they can put the pieces of the puzzle together. Then I've seen them be able to take that, the documentation that's on the CD-ROM, take that to their congressman, open investigation, to the IG, do something to get some attention to their case.
Would you mind, because you mentioned earlier that actually anybody who was in the service could get a copy of this powerful DVD, and it really is. It's one of the finest ones we carry, called Beyond Treason. Is there a telephone number that people can call to get that?
Now, they can call and we'll tell them how to get it, 877-GULF-VET, 877-GULF-VET, or go to beyondtreason.com to see how to get this. And we will send one to anybody that's active duty right now that has an FPO or an APO address. We will send one out just automatically. You don't need to send any proof of service to it. And we want to get them. We want to get them out there. A lot of them have gone to Iraq. A lot of them have gone to Afghanistan. And I'll tell you, it creates quite a, they have to be very careful once they know this information, because then they know what's going on. You know, that one troop I was talking about that is so sick and taking so much pain medicine that they want to get rid of, I asked him, I said, do you know what depleted uranium is? And he said, yeah, we shot him out of the Bradley, you know, fighting tanks. I was, involved with that. And I said, yeah, the 120-millimeter rounds. And he said, yeah, it had DU in it. And I said, do you know what that means, though? Well, no, it's depleted. There's no problem with that.
Well, what it is solid uranium. Solid uranium 238. The only thing depleted is some of the 235. It is solid, active, radioactive uranium that they are, of course, exposing our boys to. And there's not one person in 1,000 who really has any idea what's going on. That's why your DVD is so vitally important. And associated with that, you get a CD-ROM. They've got hundreds of pages of government documents that the government now would love to have disappear. In fact, I'm sure that they're furious with Joyce for putting out that DVD and using all the government documents telling about how they know that they're poisoning our boys.
Yeah, they are furious. And I will just say, I think I've told this before, but the first documentary I did in 96 was called Gulf War Illness, Fact or Fiction. It was not as professional. It was all the evidence and information I had at that time. And in 96, I barely knew what I was doing other than the research. I knew that, but I didn't know how to do a documentary. However, we did this. I actually got a call from the Pentagon, and I think I've told you about this in the past.
Go right ahead and tell it again.
Now, from Captain Chalker Brown. Captain Chalker Brown, who's a Navy captain, contacted me and said, Captain Riley, he said, we'd like to talk to you about your DVD, or it was the time it was a video, Gulf War Illness, Fact or Fiction. I said, yes, sir. And he made it sure that I knew he was calling from the Pentagon, and this was Secretary of Defense's office. And he said, we'd like for you to stop giving that away, because I was giving it away free to any veteran that wanted one or any troop that wanted it. And he said, we'd like to talk to you because we want you to stop giving it away. I said, well, can you tell me which part of it is inaccurate? He said, it's not that. He said, it's that you are one of us. And I said, no, sir. I said, if you think I'm going to participate in the wholesale slaughter of our military by not treating them and not telling them the truth, I said, count me out. I am not one of you. And he made it very clear that the Pentagon did not want me distributing that. Well, we still have that. We have it at the Power Hour. And you can still get it. And there is not one thing on that that has been disproven. But I will tell you, there is so much evidence on that documentary that they really, really, there's something on there they really, really don't like. Then I got a communication from the Pentagon saying that something I had used had been classified, and therefore they wanted me to stop distributing it because of classified material that it contained. And I knew what they were talking about, and I knew that it had been declassified. And so I told them, I said, well, if you will provide me with the classification order or the reclassification order, I said, I know it has been declassified, but if you will provide me with the reclassification order, I will be glad to remove it from the video. They never did, because I knew it was still declassified, but they still didn't want it in there because it was one of those things that we happened to get that we weren't supposed to get. So those two videos really tell it like it is. And all I can say is if you want to know what's going on, if you want to know how serious this is, then get a copy of that. And if you're in the military, I'll give it to you at no charge. That's my goal, is to get as much of this information out as we can, because the whole world stands to lose if these 2 million troops come back. And let's say they start doing the kinds of things that I know that have been going on in the past, because as I told you, I'm going around to some of the prisons, visiting some of these troops, hearing their stories, getting them on video, and learning that, in fact, these people had no idea what they were doing, didn't know it even happened, and now they have to live with that the rest of their lives.
Now, I think what Joyce is talking about are soldiers who killed their wives, you know, and of course, because these drugs, Prozac, Luvox, the others, actually produce homicidal tendencies. They know that. So why are they giving this so many of our military? And there are other things, too. Aren't there some medications that have to do with malaria that do the same thing?
Yes, malaria. And then they try to put them in the hospital and give them ecstasy and try to wipe out their memories. And that's now the new treatment for PTSD, is if they're really bad, they'll give them all those drugs. Then they'll put them in the VA, give them ecstasy, and try to erase their memories. Now we're getting into some really dangerous areas, because we have troops now. I mean, I can probably find you in a very short period of time over 100 of these murder cases in which they have killed the person they love the most. Don't know it. Call 911 and say, my family is all dead here, and I'm the only one here. Could I have done it?
Well,
that's what they say to 911.
We're not talking about occasional. This is happening more frequently than most people realize. And, of course, Prozac, if you look at the scientific studies on this, it really doesn't do that much good. I mean, maybe 1% improvement in depression compared with the placebo. You're not going to get that. Go up on the Internet, check it out. And then, of course, realize, of course, we're giving a drug that doesn't do much of any good. But, of course, does produce homicidal and suicidal tendencies. Why would you do something like that if you wanted to help the soldiers? Or is there another agenda? Our guest, of course, is Joyce Riley. Her program, The Power Hour. You ought to be listening to it every morning. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, Joyce, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I want to say to anybody that has served that I know that you probably served for the right reasons. You believed in what you were doing, just as I did, just as Dr. Stan did, just as people who really, really... My father was a belly gunner on a B-17. He believed in what he was doing at the time. Then he has seen what has happened. You know, I got a letter from an 84-year-old man. He was a former pilot of a B-17. And he wrote to me in his tear-stained paper after I'd been on Art Bell one night. And he said, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. He said, I love the military. I love the Army Air Corps more than anybody can imagine. And he said, all of this smeared paper here is now a result of my tears because what I'm hearing you say. And he said, and I believe every word you're saying. So we join for the right reasons. We serve for the right reasons. And now, unfortunately, we're watching the demise of thousands of our military that have gone to a meat grinder, basically a meat grinder in which our own weapons are killing our own men. Depleted uranium needs to be stopped. Depleted uranium by all countries needs to be stopped. The only reason they're using it is because it kills people and breaks things better than anything else that they've got. And so now our troops are going to be the victims. And I feel so badly about these 20-year-old young men coming home who've got the DU particles in their clothing, in the sand. Because everybody brings back sand from the desert. They want to show their mom and dad, this sand is from Baghdad. And they open up that sand. There's got to be depleted uranium in that sand. I'm not saying it all does, but it's all over in that area. And so then you have the exposure to the families now, to the young children. And I think that it is such a tragedy that these clothes, these BDUs, the uniforms that they wear, are being sold in surplus stores. People are getting them, not realizing they're going to be taking home radiated clothing, radiation-packed clothing with them. And so we've got to start to say, Department of Defense, we're on to you now. We know what you're doing. Either stop allowing your children to join the military, or if they're determined to join the military, have them look at Beyond Treason first. Then if they want to make the choice, that's their own choice. But at least they will know what they're getting involved in. People who join now understand that they're going to be taking those vaccines. They may or may not be experimental. They may or may not have experiments conducted on them. That's their choice. And if they want to do it, free choice, that's, they have to do that. But those of us that are going to be dealing with these people after they return, the mothers, the fathers, the parents, the wives, the children, need to understand a lot has gone over there. A lot we don't know how to take care of. People have got to understand that these men and women are going to need an awful lot of care when they return.
Amen to that. Well, Joyce Riley, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to talking to you here on one of our other programs in the very near future.
Thank you, Dr.
Bye-bye,
Stan.
And God bless.
God bless.
All right, fine. Well, that was Joyce Riley, and Joyce is one of the most sincere people I know, and she's dedicated herself entirely to getting the truth out. If you'd like to hear her, remember, she's going to be speaking. Actually, it's going to be on the 8th of June. She'll be speaking. The conference is the 7th and 8th of June over in Santa Clara at the Marriott Hotel, and the number to call is 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. And then, of course, we certainly want to tell you, we do carry this DVD. It's one of the most powerful you'll ever see. It's called Beyond Treason. It's a story of how we are poisoning our own soldiers. Why would anybody do that? Well, do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to destroy our military from within? And, of course, if you're a regular Army officer, you do what you're told. You never question it. That's Beyond Treason. We actually have, of course, a four-tape set called Vaccine A. It's the story of the experimental vaccine they used on our soldiers in the first Gulf War and why almost 80,000 of those young soldiers as of November of last year are no longer living. And if you want those forms for the Veterans Administration, you can request them, and if you get anything else, we'll get that for you free of charge. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the Gulf War. We have a four-tape set on other subjects, and they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we recommend this material to you. We have a four-tape set on depleted uranium. All of this information, Beyond Treason, the four-tape set on depleted uranium, on Vaccine A, on the Gulf War illness, they're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And people say, why would anybody do anything like that? Well, you need to get our population control agenda monograph. There are people who look at the world through different eyes. You need to hear my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. It's on a DVD. You need to hear my talk on the planned population reduction. It's available on DVD. And then, of course, you need to get our material. It's the Population Control Agenda. The Population Control Agenda monograph. It's available from Radio Liberty. You can buy it independently. Or if you get into the other items, we'll send it to you free of charge. You must understand that we're dealing with organized evil at the highest levels of our society today. And most people have no idea what's going on, or the fact that America, the people who control America, having nothing to do with this country, but they, of course, represent a different force. And there they have our troops stationed in 130 nations. We have over 740 bases overseas. We have an American empire. Over 2 billion people live throughout the world on $2 a day, and almost a billion live on $1 a day. And we keep giving our money foreign aid, not to help the people in other countries, but to impoverish them. We are, of course, giving our vaccines, sending our vaccines laden with mercury to be given to the little children in Africa and in Asia, knowing it full well will destroy their minds and produce autism and other neurological disorders. And, of course, it'll interfere with their fertility because this is really all about population control, destroying fertility. The mercury that they put in our fillings and in the influenza vaccine destroys fertility. Aspartame and NutraSweet destroy fertility. The fluoride that they put in our drinking water lowers fertility rates. Of course, also lowers sperm count and testosterone levels. And did you ever wonder why so many men today have erectile dysfunction, ED? Do you ever hear about it before? It's happening because they're poisoning our people. Are you concerned? Try to prove me wrong. I mean, fortunately, we have the Internet. You can check out most of this. You want the information on fluoride. We've got a great DVD and syllabus called The Hidden Agenda. They have to hide it. They can't let the people know the truth. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.